This is a production of Cornell University.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to the 21st week of the Shortcut Early Bird Podcast. Been going consistently here throughout the year, Frank, and as it pertains to the weather, we're still seeing fairly normal circumstances, right?
That's correct, Carl, and normal has a very interesting ring to it these days. We have been unusually normal in the temperature range, but unusually abnormal a bit in the rainfall range, right? We've been really having very little periods, widespread areas, very few periods when widespread areas experience drought stress. There obviously were a couple of dry periods along Long Island, and if, you know, any of the five people who live in Maine, Carl, if they're listening to the podcast, they're experiencing some of the driest weather we're having. It appears that the rainfall seems to be cutting through the central part of the Northeast, but really missing Maine. So Maine's been very dry, and otherwise, you know, again, good growing conditions. But there was, we had a guest this week on Shortcut that tried to tie some of the weather factors we were seeing with insects, Dr. Wickings.
Yep, Kyle Wickings joined us for our conference call this week, and you know, it started out, the conversation started out with chinch bugs, right? We've seen a lot of lawns kind of taken out by chinch bugs. Maybe we could talk a little bit about the conditions they prefer and kind of why we're seeing this chinch bug outbreak here this year.
Yeah, you know, first of all, you know, I started out the conversation with Kyle about was, listen, you know, I thought we planted a lot of endophytic grasses.
Right.
And I thought that chinch bug was something we only saw in dry years. And he said he thought the same things too, that historically chinch bugs have been associated with dry weather conditions. And typically the level of infection that Dave Shetler at Ohio State showed years ago, you needed about 20 to 30% of your stand to be endophyte infected to be able to resist pressure, the feeding pressure. Mm-hmm. So with that as a backdrop, he was surprised like I was that we're having this chinch bugs issue. And of course, the high presence of adults and nymphs feeding from both could be that just ideal conditions. And as he mentioned last year, warm winters, right? Mild winters allowing more adults to overwinter is probably contributing to the issue as well. But I think we all stand in a little bit of confusion that in a year when most turf is growing fairly well, that and for many years we've been planting grasses that should resist feeding insects, we're having a preponderance of surface feeding insects causing us a trouble. So that's still the conundrum, the unanswered question. And of course, control at this stage, you know, I'm blanking on the active ingredient in 7, SEVIN, mm-hmm. but that's typically what guys would spray if they thought. But by now, most of that turf is gone and it's probably ready to be reseeded. But of course, while chinch bugs was a very interesting conversation, we then moved to grubs in the conversation.
Right. So Dr. Wickings was telling us he's seen white grubs are right around the first or second instar stage, at least here in central New York. And in contrast to the chinch bugs, the grubs do like the moist, wet weather. And we're expecting a big year for that.
I think he said really clearly that we're going to expect high populations. They're going to be laying their eggs all over the place. Mm-hmm. And of course, the first thing that comes to my mind as we integrate the growing of the grass with the grub is, well, good growing turf should be able to sustain a fair amount of root feeding by the grubs. Mm-hmm. And we agree that's probably going to be the case. But as usual, we worry more often about the vertebrate damage and how they're peeling back the turf looking for grubs. And Kyle, in a conversation with Paul Curtis, our faculty member here at Cornell in wildlife management, indicated that the vertebrates are going to have a lot of options for feeding this year. They're not going to be having to grub into the soil necessarily to get those plump grubs because there's going to be a lot of other feeding options. And it appeared to me that Kyle was suggesting that Paul was saying that grubs might be down the list on things that these vertebrates go for, and that because there's other options for food because of the good growing conditions, that maybe they won't the grubbing won't be as severe. But the other part that I thought was interesting was the control components that he was talking about, Carl, both with nematodes, a new exciting nematode coming to the market in Ontario, Canada, Steinonerma scarabaei, currently not labeled in the United States, but apparently showing exceptional control. Nematodes, entomopathic nematodes, EPN, used for control, shown really good efficacy, not available in our country yet. We do have nematodes you can buy. There are a variety of HB nematodes. I'm not going to try the name. I think it's Heteropagus bacteriophora or something like that. But HB, and now's a good time to apply them. First and second instar with a lot of water, but very expensive to use. But school grounds, people, that might be one of the only options. And then finally, the chemical options. The thing that it was surprising we talked about was that possibly an application of a neonicotinoid like imidacloprid or MERIT at this time on first and second instar grubs, that there is in fact some evidence that they can get some curative control under watering it in and getting the material down to where the grubs are. But of course, always big caution with the neonic's use at this time, Carl, because of all the beautiful plants and flower that all of our pollinators are foraging on. So any particular neonicotinoid application you intend on making, make sure you take extra care in buffer areas around flowers and anything in the lawn that's in flower, you should wait to make that application. So a big conversation this week about grubs, Carl.
Yeah, and since you mentioned the neonics and pollinators, Frank, this is a good time to remind everybody that the New York State Best Management Practices for Golf Courses website has an entire section devoted now to pollinator protection BMPs, so definitely suggest giving that a look. As another announcement, we have recently posted our 2017 Cornell Guide for Commercial Turfgrass Management on our website for free. We're very excited to do that this year as a free resource with more in-depth information on many aspects of turfgrass management and specific topics like chinch bugs and grubs that we were discussing today. So with that, we'd like to thank everybody for listening to today's episode of the Shortcut Early Bird Podcast. See you next week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.